Let's open our Bibles, please, to the book of Galatians, the sixth chapter. Galatians chapter 6 in your Scofield Bible, page 1248. We'll be reading just one verse. We'll read it together, and then we'll turn to yet one other verse after reading this one. Galatians chapter 6, verse 15, page 1248. And as we always do, let's please stand for the reading of this passage. Verse 15 only, let's read it together, please. Ready? For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Turn back now to the book of 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, page 1234. We'll read the 17th verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, and let's read. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And let's pray. Father, you've been awfully good to us this day. Thank you for our church. Thank you especially for your word, time-tested, of course, honored in this place all these years. We would once again give the proper place and the proper respect and honor to your word. Bless the preaching of it tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Is that Keith Whitehouse I see out there? Is that you, Keith? Stand up, son, Keith. I looked out there and I thought that was you, and then I got pretty sure it was, and then I got almost sure it was. Keith Whitehouse grew up in our church from the age of what? 6 years old. Keith is being blessed of God in an unusual way. He's an evangelist, and he's just book solid, goes all over the country preaching. Don't forget to be proud of him, all of you who've taught him in Sunday school. He doesn't live in this area anymore. His family's here, and they're loyal, faithful members of our church. But it's easy for us not to understand what some of our young men are doing. Keith Whitehouse, I go across this nation, and often somebody will say, heard one of your boys preach, and evangelist. I say, who was it? A fellow named Keith Whitehouse. Strong preacher, fine preacher. And I'm proud of him. I love him. He and I correspond with each other regularly, and he keeps me posted on how he's doing. So just take time. Your own heart, you folks have been here for all these years, to be very proud of him. He's standing true and faithful to what his church has stood for all these years. Not wavered at all, just right down the line. Father, bless the message tonight. Teach us something that'll help us to be something that we ought to be. Meet with us in this hour, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse says this, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. I wish I had a more fancy title to my sermon tonight. I can't think of one. The title is, It's Here for You. It's Here for You. And I want to teach you something tonight that's misunderstood. And it causes many people to stumble and many people to fail to grow in grace. Father, bless the message tonight to our hearts and our hearts to our lives and our lives to the lives of others. In Jesus' name, help us. Amen. Now, this misunderstanding, and I want you to follow me very, very carefully as I lay the foundation. There's a misunderstanding, probably, in 99% of the pews and pulpits of our nation concerning this matter of being a new creature. We read a while ago from our text in Galatians, we read that the circumcision or uncircumcision, but a new creature. It's much like 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Our creature, old things have passed away and all things have become new. I want to lay the foundation by explaining what regeneration is. The word regeneration is a word that deals with the miracle that happens at salvation. When the sincerity of faith makes contact with the person of Christ, that turns on the switch which causes the Holy Spirit to do a work in our lives. That work that He does is called regeneration. Now the word regeneration is the word comes from the word regene. Regene. Just like we are born from physical genes, when you're born again, you're born from spiritual genes. The Bible says we're not redeemed with corruptible seed, but with incorruptible seed, which is the precious Word of God. So, actually, when the Word of God is preached and taught and used, it brings conviction to the hearts and lives of people, and they by faith make contact with the grace of God. When that sincere faith makes contact with the grace of God, the Holy Spirit regenes them, the Word of God being the genes. Nobody can be saved without the Word of God. That may not maybe that you don't, when they get saved, they don't hear the Word of God at their point of salvation, but the Word of God had to be sown. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So the Word of God becomes the genes, if you please. And those genes, we are regened, and a new person is born. And that new person is called the second nature. It's called the new man in the Bible. And that new person is born. Now, let me say this. This does not make you a new creature. It gives you a new creature. Please listen, because this is very important in the Christian life. Most folks don't understand it. When a person is born again and God regenes, now the first genes brought forth the physical nature. The genes of Costell Matty Hiles and Willis Anthony Hiles brought forth a person named Jack Hiles. Then I was regened several years later. And the genes of this book brought forth a new creature. Now, when that new creature came, the old creature did not leave. Consequently, the new creature doesn't make you good. It just gives you a choice. You can be good. It makes goodness available. In fact, there's so many things that we normally preach and teach the Christian has when he gets saved that he does not have when he gets saved. He simply has access to those things when he gets saved. I'm going to call your attention tonight a few of those things that are available to you, but not necessarily yours when you get saved. Now let me say it again. I want to make it very plain. That is that when a person gets saved, there is a new creature who comes. He does not supplant or take the place of the old creature. He simply adds another creature when a person's born again. There is another creature who comes in, and the old creature is still there. And because of that, this new creature does not force upon you the things that God has for you. He makes available to you and accessible to you things that God has for you. I want to call to your attention four of those things tonight that so many people think that they have at salvation, to which they only have access at salvation. The first thing is sanctification. And you've heard people say this. Well, if you had what I got, you wouldn't desire that. Now, that guy's got a hole in his head because he still desires that. Well, I got saved. God took away my old temper from me. No, God didn't take away your old temper. The old fellow's still hanging around there just as hot-headed as he ever was. You've got a new creature who's there, and that new creature gives you access to a power by which you can win the victory over your old temper. If you had, somebody said, well, bless God, you and I don't have the same thing. Well, yes, we do too. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Yeah. So, every appetite that you had is still there. You hear what I said? Every appetite that you had is still there. This new creature does not make you good. It gives you a choice to be good. Now, an unsaved man has no choice. He has one depraved nature. That's all he has. He may try to improve that nature, but he will not make it good. For even his righteousness, the Bible says, is like filthy rags. But when a person's born again, he does not become a new creature. He has a new creature. And now he has two natures, which does not make him good by being saved. It makes goodness accessible to him by his being saved. Somebody says, well, I don't understand it. Since I got saved, I've been saved a while, and I'm back to wanting to read Playboy magazine. Now, the old nature does. The old nature lusts. The old nature hates. The old nature covets. The old nature envies. The old nature is jealous. The old nature is bitter. And he's still there. Now, God does not, listen, hear me carefully. God does not make you love when you get saved. He makes love accessible to you. God does not make you peaceful when you get saved. He makes peace accessible to you. God does not make you good when you get saved. He makes goodness accessible to you as the new creature comes. Now, that's why often when a person gets saved, there's a sudden change in his life. You know why? He is enchanted with that new person. Just like the new gal that moves in the block. He is enchanted with that new person. And boy, he says, hot dog, I like this new fella. But that old fella is hibernating back in the back. And as soon as you have a little falling out with the new fella, he's going to come and wink at you again. He's still there. And don't you think he's gone. You think he's gone, he'll slay you while you're not looking. He'll slip up on your hind side. Before you know it, you'll go back to him. But now, why does a person oftentimes change immediately and drastically when he gets saved? Because it's all new. The book is new to him. Prayer is new to him. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is new to him. Soul winning is new to him. And boy, he gets hot after it. Why? Because he's met somebody, and he is somebody he was not before. He has a new creation. There is a new creature born again by the genes of this book. And he's regened or regenerated. Now, I want to tell you something tonight. There's a teaching in this country, and the average person believes it, that you can doctor up the flesh and that'll take care of it. No, you can't. No, you can't. You can baptize the flesh and still be depraved. You can improve the flesh and still be depraved. You can doctor up the flesh and still be depraved. You can make the flesh quit drinking and still be depraved. I'm saying the only hope you have to goodness is to get regened or regenerated so there will be a new creature born again, not of baptism, not of Lord's Supper, not of confession, not of confirmation, but by the blessed Word of God. These genes. And that new person gives you access to goodness. Now then, why then do some people get saved? And they go red hot for a while. They do it because they're enchanted with this new person, this new creature, new creation in them. Then why does that same person oftentimes lose that zeal and slide back into the old life? I'll tell you why. Because he gets used to the new nature. He gets to know him well. It's commonplace now. Prayer is commonplace. The Bible is commonplace. Soul winning is commonplace. The Holy Spirit is commonplace. And because he has not hung around the old nature much lately, he looks and sees the old nature, and all of a sudden, he looks better than he used to. Why? Because you have not seen him for a while. You have not fellowshiped with him for a while. You have not enjoyed his wares for a while. You have not smelled his scent for a while. You have not noticed his beauty for a while. And all of a sudden, because you get disenchanted with the new creation, then you become enchanted with the old creation. And then sometimes it just goes back and forth. But I want to say this tonight. Both are here to stay. Both are here to stay. Now, what can we do about it? Very simple. The Bible says, make not provision for the flesh. Romans 13:14. Make not provision for the flesh. Now, here's what it says. It says you are two creatures. There is the old nature, gened by your parents. Are you listening to me? The old nature, gened by your parents, and the new nature, gened by the Word of God, that incorruptible seed. And listen, that's why we've got to have a perfect book. I mean, we'll have retarded children. We'll have kids born with spiritual AIDS. You got to have the right genes. And the Revised Standard Version doesn't have the right genes. And the American Standard Version doesn't have the right genes. That version I hold right there has the right genes. Not with corruptible seed, but incorruptible. And if there's a mistake in that book, it's corruptible seed. A copy of a famous preacher I know. The wall is built. He's a little pussyfoot in there, tickling, back scratching, penny pinching, nickel nipping, soft soaping. I'm quoting a preacher I heard a while ago named Reverend Strand. But that's why we've got to use the book. That's why we've got to read the book. That's why that when soul winning, we're supposed to use the book. Why? Because the book is the incorruptible seed. Now, we have then this person over here, born of the corruptible seed, which is human seed. Then we have this person over here, all in the same body, that has been born of incorruptible seed, the blessed Word of God. Now, how can we, it's true, there are times in your life to where when the new creature born of this seed is very attractive to you, and you can't wait to come to church, and you can't wait to get in this book, and you can't wait to get on your face with God, and you can't wait to go out soul winning. But there are times, and you look back, and you've been with this fellow so much over here, the old nature looks appealing, and the old life looks good, and the beaches look good, and the running around half naked looks good, and the hippie hair on men, pardon me, males, looks good, pardon me, whatever they are, looks good. And the old life looks good. And what you'll do, you'll want to find some church that will blend to that old life. You won't want to hear what you're hearing. You'll say, I'm sick and tired of hearing that. Well, the new man's not. No, the new man's not tired of that. The new man is not tired of talking about this book. The new man is not tired of talking about being out in the field praying. The new man's not tired of old-fashioned biblical separation. He's not tired of it. But you get tired of him. So the old man looks pretty good. Now, then, what is the secret? Very simply what I said a while ago, make no provision for the flesh. Now, what does it mean? That means don't plan in your schedule anything for the flesh. Don't put it in your schedule. Keep your schedule full of the new man, the man born of incorruptible seed. Don't make any provision for the old man at all. Don't make any provision in your schedule. It means also don't make any provision in your plans. It means keep your life so wrapped up and so busy in plans for the new creature that you don't have time for plans for the old creature. It means do not include, make provision in your associates. It means do not make provision in the crowd with whom you run. It means at school, you run with people that'll encourage the new creature. It means at work, you try to migrate to the people who live according to the new creature. It means that you make no provision in your schedule for the old man. You make no provision in your plans for the old man. You make no provision in your associates for the old man. And you make no provision in your environment for the old man. Now listen to me. That means that you don't have time for the old man. You don't have place for the old man. You don't hang around people from the old man. You don't live in the environment of the old man. Listen, the old man's very attractive. And in you is a desire to do what people say. Oh, did you hear what he did? Oh, yes, I heard. He did what you'd like to do. Yeah. Oh, understand, he's fallen. He didn't fall. He's jumped. He planned. He made provision for the flesh. He left some time open for the flesh. Now, I want to say this, folks. You're not going to be good because you're saved. But you can be good because you're saved. You can't be good in the old nature. There's not one single thing good about him. But bless God, the new nature is born of incorruptible seed, or genes, and you have a nature that has been re-gened, that is the nature of Christ, and that nature doesn't sin. But the most righteous person in this room tonight, hear me now, has the same temptations of the most unrighteous person in this room tonight. And you'd better be real, real careful about looking down your Pharisaical snoot at people that have gone to what you call deep sin. You better be careful. You've got the same seed lying in you that he has. You've got the same temptation beating in your breast that he does. You've got the same flesh to contend with that he does. What you better do is say, I'll make no provision. I'll not have any time in my schedule for the old man. I'll not have any kind of an environment that will be conducive for the old man. I'll not have any kind of close personal associates that will be conducive for the old man. I'll not make any plans at all that will have anything to do with the old man. That's why you ought to go to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night. There's nothing in the Bible says you got to go twice on Sunday and not once on Wednesday. No, it's not at all. But you ought to make it in your plans. Plans ought to be go. Listen, you sit home and miss church, and a lot of you folks got about 101 fever, ought not to be staying home. 20 years, thank God, I've not missed one single speaking engagement, not one. I mean, not an out-of-town engagement, not one engagement from this pulpit, not one. Now, I preach with 103 fever. I preach with a flu. I preach with a strep throat. But bless God, you sit around, listen, you stay home tonight and say, well, I'll stay home and have services here. Johnny Carson will be your preacher. You're making provision for the flesh. What you're doing? Why? Because you have not scheduled yourself. That's why every Sunday morning, every Christian ought to be in church. Every Sunday night, every Christian ought to be in church. Every Wednesday night, every Christian ought to be in church. Every Christian. Why? Because of the fact that you need to live by schedule that makes no provision for the flesh. That's why on vacation you ought to go to church. Well, we'll have services in the motel room. How many folks did you have saved at those services? How long did they last? Till the game came on. Now listen, folks, you better go through your schedule and be sure that your schedule is so full of things that will feed this new creature. You will not be good because he's there. But blessed be God, you can be good because he's there. You have access to goodness because he's there. And I want to say this. I do not believe that it's possible for any person to live without sin. But I will say this. I think that in any given instance, you can overcome the tempter and have victory over the sin. It could be done. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I don't think we ought to enjoy our doctrine of eternal security so much. Well, nobody's perfect. Now, you ought not to say that. I agree that nobody's perfect, but I want to say this. Whatever temptation you're going to have tomorrow, you can have the victory over it. Now, one of these days, you're going to lose the game because you're going to throw a wild pitch, but you don't have to do it if you don't throw that wild pitch. There's a second thing that is available at salvation, accessible, but not necessarily yours. First, I said sanctification. Second, reconciliation to God. That's going to shock you, some of you. Reconciliation to God. I'm going to say this. When you get saved, that does not reconcile you to God. When you get saved, that makes reconciliation available to you. You quote what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12. He said, I know whom I have believed. Now the know there is present tense. I know. Whom I have believed, that's past tense. He said, I have believed in him, now I know him. You don't have to pray to get saved. All you've got to do is put your trust in Christ. So you can put your faith in Christ and rely upon Him to save you, and He comes in you, but that does not, it makes reconciliation available. Now, wait a minute. It does make, if you mean by reconciliation, the fact that you're saved now, that's true. But reconciliation is when two people get reconciled to each other and become close to each other again. And that reconciliation is made available to you. When Paul wrote that scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5:20. He said, "Be ye reconciled to God." That was written to the saints at Corinth. Because of adultery in chapter 5, they were not reconciled to God. Saved? Yeah. Fellowship with God? No. Because of carnality, saved? Yes. Fellowship with God? No. Because of abuse of the Lord's table, saved? Yes. Fellowship with God? No. Because of women having the wrong place in the church, saved? Yes. Fellowship with God? No. Because of the charismatic thing they had that was and is unscriptural, saved? Yes. Fellowship with God? No. So Paul writes to the saints at Corinth, the carnal Christians, and that's what it means. They were carnal. They had been making provision for the flesh and allowing the flesh to conquer this new creature that came in salvation. Paul says, you saints at Corinth who are carnal and wicked and divided and bitter, he said, be ye reconciled to God. You say, preacher, doesn't that happen when you get saved? No, it is available when you get saved. Now, as far as your faith in God and your everlasting position is concerned, that takes place at salvation. As far as you're being reconciled to fellowship with your Savior, that is only made available at salvation. Jesus gives you access to it. Now, here's a tragic thing. Most of the people in this room tonight have access to fellowship with God, but you don't take advantage of it. And the truth is, though reconciliation with God is available to you, you don't take advantage of it. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. The reason is this. You make too much provision for talking to the flesh. You make too much provision for what we call fellowship. You make too much provision for the feeding of the old man. And the Bible says don't make provision for him. Make provision for fellowship with God. That's what the Bible says. There's a third thing. And I want to take more time, but I don't have it. There's a third thing. Don't crucify me when I first make this statement. As far as position is concerned, when you get saved, you become a child of God. But as far as the practical outworking of that position is concerned, you do not become a child of God when you get saved. Don't you remember that passage over here in 2 Corinthians? Listen to it. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said to them, I will dwell in them and walk in them and be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, hear me carefully. When you got saved, you became one of God's people. Before you got saved, you were one of God's creatures. By creation, you're one of God's creatures. When you got saved, you became one of God's people. Now, look here. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and will be a father unto you, that ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Now you listen to me. My Bible says that when you become a child of God, or become saved, positionally, you become a child of God, and you become one of His people. But brother, God does not accept you relationship-wise as His child till you get separated. And this generation of Christians
that believes nothing about separation, live like you want to live, sing like you want to sing, talk like you want to talk, dress like you want to dress.
But we don't believe in legalism. We don't believe in legalism.
Oh, hogwash, poppycock, and foolishness. Separation is not legalism. My mama told me she's going to wash my mouth out with K.O. soap, OK soap. When I said a word, one day I said, golly, and my mama took a bar of K.O. soap, and she made some suds and stuck that thing in my mouth. My mama wasn't being a legalist, she was being a loving mama. When my mama said, you got to get home by 11 o'clock at night, she wasn't being a legalist, she was being a loving mama. When my mama said, don't you hold hands with a girl or touch a girl who you're married, my mama wasn't being a legalist, she was being a loving mama. And when Howells Anderson College says, you're going to live right and walk a chalk line, we're not being legalists, we're being a loving college. And when Hammond Baptist High School says, you obey this rule, and this rule, and this rule, don't you believe these little pussyfooters who call us legalists, they're compromising. My Bible said right there, said don't hang around unbelievers. That's Bible. My Bible says don't hang around unrighteousness. That's Bible. My Bible says don't hang around darkness. That's Bible. My Bible says don't hang around the infidels. That's Bible. My Bible says don't hang around the idols. That's Bible. My Bible says don't hang around the unclean thing. That's Bible. If you want to be in a relationship with God as His Son, you're going to have to quit hanging around the unbelievers. That's why First Baptist Church of Hammond in 1960 withdrew from the American Baptist Convention. That's why the Miller Road Baptist Church in 1956 withdrew from the Southern Baptist Convention. Why? I'm not going to yoke myself up with somebody that doesn't believe that book. That's why. Not going to do it. Why? I want God in my relationship to be as a father and a son. You're still His people if you're saved and don't live a separated life. But you're not, as far as relationship is concerned, His son or daughter. Let's put it this way. You're in the family when you get saved, but you're not in the house. God says to you, you come to me, I will make a new creature in you. I will give you a new creature. And that new creature will live in you. And that new creature will make available to you sanctification and goodness. It'll give you access to it if you so choose. And that new creature will give you access to a closeness and reconciliation with God Almighty. And that new creature will, in the third place, make you a child of God if you so choose. It all doesn't clear up when you get saved. You have the access to what will clear it up. The Holy Spirit never pushes Himself on anybody. He comes and makes Himself better. Okay, when our kids are growing up, every day when I was home, which was 2 days in February and 1 day in March, but every day when I was home, the kids are growing up, I went to every child's room. I didn't walk in and say, Cindy, I know you have burdens. That's what this shoulder is for. Tell me your burdens, Cindy. I walked in, grabbed the newspaper, laid down across the bed. I said, how would you like to look at the world's handsomest man for a while? She said, I don't know. I haven't seen him in a long time. Now, what was I doing? I was making myself available in case Cindy had a problem. I didn't say, Cindy, you have a problem. She knew why I was there. She knew that Dad came by in case she needed Dad. There he was. But I never forced myself. And God's that way. When God makes you a new creature, He gives you a second nature. That second nature will not force Himself on you. He says, I'm here. In case you want to be better, here it is. It's accessible. In case you want to fellowship with me and be reconciled to me, here it is. It's accessible. In case you want me to treat you like my own child, it's accessible. You hear some of these testimonies, especially on these garbage TV religious programs. They're a bunch of spiritual hippies with worldly music. You hear them talk, you think all you got to do is get saved and all problems are over. You just come to Jesus and you'll never have another temptation as long as you live. Well, I got news for you, Buster. You will too. You will too. The lust that you had before you got saved is still hanging around you. And then what's the difference? Some folks make provision for the flesh and some don't. I have nothing in my schedule that schedules any activity for the flesh. Except a few minutes eating. Nothing. I don't schedule it. I do not hang around the crowd that will tempt me to go into the flesh. I do not have any plans that give me an opportunity. Now listen to me, folks. You go on vacation. You know where you get in trouble? You don't plan to lay out there half naked on a beach. You just want to go to the beach and look at it. So you'll have a picnic out there on the beach, fully clothed. What are you doing? You're making provisions for the flesh. Articles you'll see about... Can't think of her name. Han. Jessica? Han. You see those articles? And oh, you're not going to have an evil thought, but you'd like to know the evil thought she had. What are you doing? Making provision for the flesh? Buy one of those papers? Keep it there so you read that one article? What are you doing? Making provision for the flesh? Some of you folks ought not. Is this lewd movie house still open down here? It is, Dick. What does it cost to get in, Dick? You're just exactly the very fellow that I thought would know. It was open. But I got it on you. I got a Mac, and you don't, Dick. But. Now, some of you fellows shouldn't drive by that place. Now, don't look so sanctimonious. I know what you do. You take a little glance over there as you walk by, just see what's on the picture. And then, just in case anybody's looking, you look over that way, too. So you make them think you're just looking to the left and the right. What are you doing? Making provision for the flesh. Turn your television set on. Watch these prime time. Making provision for the flesh. Now, listen. You get saved doesn't cure it all. You get saved, it gives you a cure in case you want to use it. When you get saved, the medicine's put on the shelf. You want to take it, you can take it. It's here for you. But you've got to take it. There's the fourth thing, and I hasten to say it. Not only is there accessibility to sanctification when you become this new creature, and accessibility to reconciliation with God when you become this new creature, and a relationship as a father and child available to you when you become a new creature, but also the dear Holy Spirit is available to you. He comes in you. He does not begin His work. He comes in you at salvation. Now, He'll only do His work at your invitation. He'll only do His work at your request. He comes and brings His broom and His mop bucket and His mop and His dust rags and His furniture polish and stands there till you tell Him to start cleaning. He comes in when you get saved. He will not cleanse you, lead you, guide you, strengthen you, or fill you. We have cute little statements Baptist preachers make around it. Well, they talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was baptized with the Holy Ghost when I got saved. Now, be careful there. The Holy Ghost came into you when you got saved. But He does not give you His mighty power until you request and appropriate that mighty power. You've got to hang on to God and pay the price in order for Him who is in you. He will not work through you till will you invite him to, ask him to, and plead with him to?
There's a scripture over in James that says he lusteth. The Holy Spirit lusteth through his work in you. He lusteth the night to comfort you. But he will not comfort you until you seek his comfort. He lusteth the night. And that means he wants something desperately that's his by right that somebody or something else has. He lusteth to comfort you. He lusteth to cleanse you. He lusteth to guide you. He lusteth to strengthen you. He lusteth to fill you. He's available. He's here for you. He's here for you. Now, there are two types of Christians in this room tonight. Hear me carefully. There's the Christian who's saved and has this regened creature in him, this new creature, who does not appropriate what he has. He has access. Look, everything that the best Christian in this room has tonight, the worst Christian in this room has access to. See what I said? Everything the cleanest mind in this room has tonight, the dirtiest mind who saved has access to. The person that loves to read and study and live in this book the most has nothing available to him that is not available to the person in this room that reads this book the least. There is no power that the most powerful preacher or Christian in this world has tonight that is not available to every single believer in the world. Don't you remember when he talked about in Joel chapter 2 about the fullness of the Spirit? He said something about young people, didn't he? And old people. He said something about servants and handmaids. Now, if we had written that, we'd say, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. The evangelist shall dream dreams and the pastor shall see visions. I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. The Bible college student will see dreams and the professor will have visions. No, sir. He said young men, old men, handmaids, servants. Everything is available to you. It's here for you. You say, I wish I could be as good a Christian as she is. It's here for you. It's here for you. I wish I could have the walk with God that he has. It's here for you. Listen to me and I'll close. I don't have anything about me that's not available for you, to you. It became accessible when this new creature, born again by the Word of God with the new genes, when he came in. Everything. You sailors this morning that got saved. You got saved this morning or last night. The minute that you by faith made contact with the grace of God, everything Brother Hiles has is available for you. Everything. You Chicago bus kids over here. Got saved this morning. Everything I have, or anybody up here on this platform has, is available to you. The same walk with God that we have is accessible to you. The same relationship with Him, like a father and a son, is available to you. Don't you recall when Jesus was on the cross and took upon himself my sins and your sin? He did not say, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He had never said that before. He had never addressed his heavenly Father as God before. It was always Father. Holy Father, keep those. Holy Father, bless those. Holy Father. Now, why did he not say, Father, my Father, my Father? Because when Jesus Christ became sin, even the Father turned his back on him. and the father-son relationship was broken. And I'm talking to hundreds and hundreds of people tonight whose name is written in heaven, but you do not have a father-son relationship. And I'll tell you, many of you, it's that box you got in your living room. I want to say a word tonight. I want to say a word to all the parents of high school children. Why don't you decide to make your home as conducive to their spiritual growth as camp was this week? Why don't you decide that your home is going to be the same kind of atmosphere that camp was this week? You just can't do that every day. Who said it? Who said it? Don't take these kids that have been on cloud nine, don't take them down to the flesh. Why shouldn't a home be as spiritual as a camp? I'm talking to folks all over this room tonight. Your relationship with God has nothing to do with a father-son relationship. Nothing. You're His creature, that's all. And one of His people, that's all. Why? Because you're not coming out from among them being separate. You're not separating from the unrighteousness. You're not separating from idols. You're not separating from darkness. You're not separating from the heathen world. And God said, you can't be like a child of me until you come out from among them and get clean. What He said. Why don't you decide tonight to be separate? You say, I just can't do it. You got everything I got. You have everything John Rice had. You have accessibility to everything Dwight Moody had. You have accessibility to everything Billy Sunday had. You have accessibility to everything the Apostle Paul had. And brother, it's here for you. And if you do not have a close fellowship with God, and if you do not have a clean Christian life, and if you do not have the Holy Spirit working in you, and if you do not have a relationship with God like a father and a son, it is your fault. The food's on the table. You're sitting at the same table we're sitting at. You're not eating. Keys in the car. You're sitting there, no moving, no progress at all. Same car we're in. Same access. No difference. You say, I wonder how I could become a good Christian. Don't make provision for the flesh. Make provision for the new creature. And you have access.